We're reading from Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. And some of you might say, I thought we had already read that. And yes, we have. But let's in particular give attention to this portion of Scripture today. Let's ask God to help us as we hear these words, to embrace these words, to submit to these words, to be shaped by these words for gospel proclaiming mission and good work to the glory of God that flows from the truth of the Word of God. This is Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Omission is not a little thing. Not doing the good that you can do is sin. Just like acts of disobedience. We're unpacking Psalm 19. And this is the final message in this message series, as we've really took a deep dive into a lot of the details here, wonderfully to see God's word and God's world and how he speaks to us through his word and his word especially. And today we're seeing how hearing God speak through the word fosters pleasing God. And this pleasing God happens when we, as God's people, are doing the good of speaking good words. When we're doing the good of doing good works. Psalm 19, verse 14 is about the doing good that you can do. And this is David's concluding prayer. Let the words of my mouth... This is the believer who embraces the word of God, speaking words that praise God, words of prayer, words of blessing, words of building up others, words of pointing others to Jesus. And the meditation of my heart, these heart meditations, these ruminations within, shape all of our actions in doing good and in doing evil. David is praying as a believer, a redeemed man of God, that God would so shape his heart meditations that his actions flowing from these would also be pleasing to God. The doing good and not the doing of evil. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I spoke about sins of omission. New Testament speaks of this in James chapter 4, verse 17. And the Old Testament speaks of it in multiple places, but one of those in 1 Samuel chapter 12. James 4, 17 says this, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it. And it's just a little thing? No, for him it is sin. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 27a, think of this. Not praying for somebody could be a sin. Because Samuel says here, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And many Christians have defined sin solely in terms of those acts of direct disobedience, missing the good that God calls us to do, the opportunities that God gives us to do that kind of good. And Psalm 19, verse 14 says, seems to me, addresses heavily the good, that which is pleasing to the Lord. In Psalm 19, we've been looking at how God speaks. He speaks through his world, that is general revelation. All people see it, The heavens declare the glory of God. So does, in a manner, the approaching hurricane. It speaks of God's power, God's greatness, God's glory. And yet, general revelation only leads to condemnation. No one ever was saved through general revelation. Human heart twists that general revelation, turns against God, does not worship the Creator. We need special revelation. Praise God, He has provided such special revelation in the Scriptures. Of course, His covenant with Israel and Abraham and Isaac and Moses, etc., etc., special revelation in the Old Testament, those 39 books of Old Testament Scripture. And the culmination of special revelation is God's revelation in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 speaks of this. And the New Testament, these 27 books, are the God-inspired record of these profound truths of the New Covenant, the special revelation whereby all who are hearing this message of the gospel are called to faith in Jesus Christ, and all who receive it are saved. And this special revelation is God's word. David is speaking in an old covenant context, but he's speaking about the word of God in verses 7 through 14. This response of the believer who is now redeemed by special revelation and embracing the word and celebrating the word of God. Praise God, he's revealed himself in his word. And that's Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. He's praising God for the revelation in the world. And of course, the entire psalm culminates verses 7 through 14. God's word moves the believer to worship. And this prayer, then, is what we're considering today. The high point of the psalm. The culmination of everything else that's gone before. How does the word, God's revelation, shape and mold the believer? And that is, it stirs us to worship. And the worship is of doing good works to the glory of God, to please God, and to honor God. This is Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. David knows God as his redeemer. And the covenant name of God is here used at the end of the psalm. The personal name of God is the focus. This is, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know God personally, this can then be your prayer. Here's the model prayer, the kind of prayer we should be praying, not just saying, Lord, help me to get away with things and get by in life. Lord, I want to please you. I want to please you. And your word shapes that heart response. Always seeking to please Him. I hope that's what you're praying this fall. How can I please you, God? Help me. Help me, God, to please you. And the word moves that kind of response. Here's where we're going today. Hearing God, the good words and the good works that are fostered by the Scriptures. We need to just once again camp out on, like, okay, if I want to do these things, I need the Bible. I need the Bible. All the time. And then how this speaking good words and speak and doing good works connects to the sin issue. I think we need to go back and just see, wait, okay, this kind of relates to that whole matter of sin, even in the life of a believer. And then I'm going to give you some specific ideas for this fall at TCC. If you're saying, hey, I want to do that. I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and the way I handle myself this fall at TCC to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to give you some ideas for how to do that flow from this model prayer for a believer's gospel shape, Holy Spirit-led good works to please God. Let's start with how these good works and good words connected to hearing God speak in Scripture are fostered by the Scriptures themselves. Psalm 19 moves from the benefits of God's word to this climax in verse 14 of pleasing God. If you're properly opening the Bible, if you're properly hearing the Bible, if you're properly studying the Bible, it results in a heart desire to please God. Not just accumulating information, but God's work of transformation that moves you to say, even if it's sacrificial, I want to please God. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 also does the exact same thing. Scripture, embracing Scripture, the benefits of Scripture, results in and moves one toward good works to please God. We're going to see this verse so many times today, but just looking at different aspects. Notice how the words and the meditations, the works that flow from the heart, are highlighted here in Psalm 19, verse 14. David's prayer and all of this stuff flows from the word. We're going to see just in a few minutes in the context that's what's happening. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you want to look over the New Testament or make note of it later on to check out Hebrews 13, verses 15 through 16, it's saying the exactly same thing. Through Jesus, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that confess his name. There's words. And then the next verse, and do not neglect to do good. That's concrete, tangible terms, actions. And share what you have. That's giving to needs that are concrete and real. And why? Hebrews 13, 16b. Because with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You want to please God? The Word of God shaping our lives as we embrace the gospel, grow in Jesus, to give a sacrifice of praise, fruit of lips, to the honor and glory of God, and concrete actions. In this prayer in Psalm 19, verse 14, that's exactly the context. We may pull Psalm 19, verse 14 out of context and receive benefit from it because, hey, it's a wonderful prayer. But the context is this prayer is shaped by Scripture. It's a culmination of David's celebration of God speaking through the Word. In this message series, we have unpacked in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, the profound benefits of God's Word, how God's Word brings spiritual life, God's Word makes one grow towards wisdom, God's Word gives true joy, God's Word provides guidance, God's Word offers warnings that we need, God's Word shows us the way to a life of reward in God for the glory of God. Each of these then connects to our good works, Psalm 19, verse 14, applied to the life of a believer by the Holy Spirit as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to go to a Caribbean island, sound nice to anybody? A beach or whatever? Not in a hurricane, but a sunny day. You want to go to a Caribbean island? You need either a boat or an airplane that's well fueled. You can't walk there. If you're going to walk somewhere, you probably end up at a swamp in Norwood. Right? So how do you get to the Caribbean island of loving God so much you want to please God, even if it means sacrifice? Loving God so much that you're all about pleasing God, not appearing as if you please God, but for real pleasing God, words coming out of your life to the honor and glory of God, building up others, pointing others to Jesus, life transformation that's like, wow, you're serving, you're doing, it just flowing. How do you get there? How do you get to that kind of Caribbean island of Christian living? I cannot shame you to that. I cannot coerce you to say, oh, come on, Trinity, you got to do more. What's wrong with you people? But if you open the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and grow in that life, that wisdom, that joy, that guidance, God's going to take you to that Caribbean island of serving God. God's going to move you there by the power of His Spirit. That's what this text is about. The benefits of God's Word then connects to the doing of good works applied to the life of a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's then just celebrate Psalm 19, verse 7, verse 8, verse 11, and just praise God for the power, the transforming work of His Word in our lives. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. So this is why you don't let the Bible sit on the shelf. This is why you open it. This is why you don't let the opportunity to small group pass and say, oh, I'll come up with my own plan. No, you get into the Word together. This is why you gather for worship. And you don't sort of buy that nonsense of, well, virtual is okay, or I can just worship Jesus at home. Now, virtual is great if there's a lockdown pandemic and we can't gather unless we want to break the law. Or virtual is great if it's a day like this and a hurricane is coming and you want to hunker down. But imagine this, if somebody said to you, hey, do you want to take a trip to the Grand Canyon or want to take a virtual tour of the Grand Canyon? Do you want to go to the family reunion or do you want to get patched in for a couple minutes on Zoom at the family reunion? You can't have that sidebar conversation with Uncle Charlie on virtual. Neither can you with the Uncle Charlie at Trinity. So this is why we gather to hear the Word. We open the Word together with God's people. We get into the Word individually because God is transforming us individually and collectively and doing this mighty work of moving us toward good works as we do. The New Testament says exactly the same thing. One of the texts that I've been pulling out in this series seems to parallel Psalm 19 in so many ways is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Particularly, we're going to look today at verse 16. Think of this. The benefits of the Word, because God has inspired the Word. What is the Scripture, and what are the benefits of Scripture? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is the Word of God. Yes, God used human authors, but God is the main author. God breathed the Scriptures. Their Word-conveyed messages are God's message to us. And then the profit that flows from that. For all Scriptures God breathed and therefore profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. It results in all these wonderful blessings and benefits, just like Psalm 19 is saying, right? And then don't miss verse 17, though. What's the purpose of all that? Christians who do amazing on Bible trivia tests? No! We're being transformed by the Word that we are able to and doing good works. 1,000 different good works. To please God, honor God, serve God, bless others, point people to Jesus, pray, share, love, sacrifice, courageous, standing up, whatever it is. Serve in children's ministry, serve in youth ministry, serve in greeting ministry, serve in small group ministry. Not this, oh, I can get away with it kind of Christianity. But I'm all in, I want to please God kind of Christianity. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Bible is there to make you able to do everything God wants you to do. And some may say, well, is that man of God a spiritual leader like Timothy? Well, perhaps, but all believers are called to doing good works. Look at Ephesians 2:10, look at Galatians 6:10. And this principle, of course, applies to every single Christian. The purpose of the Word, the working of the Word, brings us to that place of doing good works. That's what Scripture does. That's why we need to open it and continue to open it. Think of that plane that takes you to the Caribbean island. Scripture's the plane. But what I think maybe sometimes people forget is they maybe have a plane, but the plane doesn't have any fuel in it. That fuel is your time in God's Word. That fuel is gathering together under God's Word. That fuel is hearing God's Word, taking it in, hearing God, directing you, guiding you, empowering you, so that those good works are not just an idea, they're a reality that God is moving you into. That's fostered by the Scriptures. So the Scripture fosters the saying of good words to the glory of God, the doing of good works to the glory of God. The Scripture also, in this doing of good words and good works, connects to the sin issue. That's what I want us to see. In this context, Psalm 19, verse 14, how good works and good words that flow from hearing God speak in the Scriptures connect to the ongoing struggle we have with sin. in our lives as redeemed believers. Anybody agree you have an ongoing struggle with sin in your life as redeemed believers? Yeah, we have that, right? We know the good to do, but we don't do it, right? And that's the kind of sin we're trying to focus here on today. But let's back up and look at how David deals with the sin issue, the battle for sin, the life of believers, just looking at verses 12 and 13. This was the focus of last Sunday's message. Who can discern his errors? You can't see your own eyeball. So you need the word. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. That's prayer number one for David. God, there's things I'm doing wrong. I don't even know I'm doing them wrong. So, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I cast myself on the mercy and the finished work of Jesus. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Prayer number two, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. These are serious affronts because they're willful, going against God when you know you're willfully going against God. And this leads down a pathway of bondage and slavery. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. He's not saying he's sinless. He's already said he's got all kinds of sin. Verse 12, he's saying he's innocent of the great transgression of willful, presumptuous, arrogant, pride-based going against God. And now, without some kind of dramatic transition, David moves to prayer number three. We see in Psalm 19, verse 14, his third prayer, which is framing this issue of sin a little differently. It's connecting it to the desire to please God and the words and heart meditations that result in that pleasing of God. And when you sin, you've lost sight of that desire. No one is ever sinning when they're in a place of, Lord God, please help me to please you with sincerity. When we sin, we're like, Lord, look the other way, please. Help me get away with this, please. Can we just have a little time out here for a while, God? I want to just think of myself. I want to please myself for a moment. I want to take care of me, and then we'll come back to pleasing you later, right? Sinning is always some aspect of that kind of unspoken prayer. But make this prayer your spoken prayer, your heart prayer. That's what David is saying. Let the words of my mouth, Lord, please help me, and the meditation of my heart, Lord, please help me, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's the redeemed believer's ongoing heart desire and heart prayer. David gives that wonderful model here, and of course it connects to the issue of sin. The issue not so much of directly disobeying what we know we shouldn't do, but it seems to me focusing more on not doing the good that we could do, the opportunities we have. So if you're just in that kind of following the list kind of thing, help me to get away with as little as possible, God, this kind of verse challenges you like crazy. This is like, what's going on in my heart and what do I really want? Remember last week we considered hearing God speak, how to win in your daily battle with sin. And we talked about how sin is an attitude or action or choice, anything that disobeys and dishonors God. And it's also a bent within us. We all have a sin nature. And of course, there is the dishonoring of God by not loving God first and not longing for God's work to advance. There's a kind of reality of sin that is even in not doing the good we can do. And we talked about how Jesus' death on the cross is the only solution for sin. He redeems from sin's penalty, praise be to his name, but he also redeems from sin's power. And although we still have a sin battle, we in Christ can have victory. We talked about that last week. And we looked how the word helps us to have that win in the daily battle with sin. And then we talked about the resource of the Holy Spirit is God's power, God's grace, the working of the Holy Spirit within us that helps us to win in that battle with sin. And let's look just at the very last couple words of Psalm 19, verse 14. As a reminder, this whole thing is framed around the life of a believer. David knows God as Redeemer, and if you know Jesus through faith, in him, you know God as Redeemer too. The grace gospel of Jesus, his shed blood, his finished life, finished death on the cross, invites you to redeemed life in him by a personal response of faith. Ephesians 1:7 speaks of this reality. We are redeemed by his blood. As David, as an old covenant saint, was redeemed by his trust, looking forward to the finished work of Christ as well. So if you haven't received Jesus, receive him. If you have received him, you are among the redeemed, and this then is your prayer. This is a guide, a prayer, a model prayer for us. And the word is what shapes that in our battle with sin. So the word-fueled, Holy Spirit-led goal for every believer is not to get by. So, people kind of give me some, well, that's not sin if I miss church. That's not sin if I'm not in a small group. That's not sin if I don't serve. Is that what you want? You want to get by? Or do you want to please God? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. The modern translations, many of them translate that be acceptable in your sight as pleasing. It's an appropriate modern word. In fact, I did a little study on the Hebrew, and that's sort of the root idea of pleasing. It's even used in some contexts not of pleasing God, but of pleasing yourself. When you say sort of, hey, who are you going to please, God or me? Psalm 19:14 is, I want to please God. I want to please God. And that's what the word shapes. So I want us to think about our aim or goal in life, and particularly this fall. What are you shooting at? Imagine I brought in an archery range here. We set it up over in the park next door, and we got some bows and arrows out and put the target up and equipped you with all the appropriate safety gear and made sure nobody was going to be shooting at anybody and all that, right? And there's a target out there. Let's imagine. And I equip you with your bow and arrow and say, hey, there's a target, line up. And as you're lining it up, you go, yeah, I'll shoot over there about 30 degrees. Or maybe I'll go over there about 30 degrees. This is what many Christians are doing. They're like, oh, okay, it's pleasing God. Ah, not really, kind of over there, a little bit, kind of. Okay, over there, I'll shoot over there. But the aim is to please God. That's what this text is saying. And that may result in changes in how you think about things, how you choose things, the meditation of your hearts, what are you looking at, where are you going, what's your schedule like, what do you say when we offer opportunities for small groups, serving, the priority of Sunday gathering, et cetera, et cetera. All these things. And 1,000 other things too. The aim is word-fueled, Holy Spirit-led, pleasing God. That's the target. And furthermore, this is the good news. In this battle, because you know it's not just a battle with the obvious sins, it's a battle with all those subtle little things that we can make it so much about ourselves and justify it, whatever, and move it, change the target a little bit. We have the Holy Spirit's power in this battle so we can win. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. That sounds kind of discouraging. That's in the life of a believer. But look at Galatians 5:22. If you walk by the Spirit, if you lead or led by the Spirit and yield to the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That stuff coming out of our lives, our behaviors, our actions, our community to the glory of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful thing. That's the aim. That's what God's Word does. Catch the drift? God's Word helping us deal with sin, dealing with sin resulting in Holy Spirit-led fruit to the glory of God. That fruit does not make you a Christian. That fruit shows you're a Christian. Just like the fruit on the tree doesn't make it a living tree, the fruit on the tree shows that it's a living tree. So hearing God speak in his word connects to that sin issue and to the fruit of the Holy Spirit flowing from the life of a believer. I want to talk about some specific ideas for this fall at TCC. This is super practical, and it may strike some as a little bit TCC-centered. But I want to challenge us, as we think of Psalms like Psalm 19, verse 14, I think that often American ears, Western ears, turn this into almost entirely an individualistic proposition. It's about me and my relation with Jesus, end of discussion. And the scripture repeatedly embeds these kinds of exhortations and prayers in the context of the believing community. Psalm 19 is a song sung by the people of God. So I'm going to give you some ideas for doing good, and then we're going to talk about the TCC day on 9/12, which Anna's already done a great job of talking about. And you can do good by praying for TCC day. You can do good by attending TCC day. You can do good by inviting others to TCC day. Once we know God personally, this then is our goal. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and we're praying this kind of prayer, be pleasing, be acceptable in your sight. And looking at a fall opportunity, as the calendar turns and people are thinking, hey, you know, what am I going to do? And it's a new season. And yes, some will say, oh, we've got Delta variant, let's stay home. We're going to say, no. We're going to do good. We're going to look for opportunities to do good in and through TCC's gospel ministry. We want to please the Lord. We want to look for opportunities to please the Lord. So in every season, TCC is committed to this model of transformation and community, doing good, and those opportunities we have this fall. Here's four things we're asking you to do, and this is not because we made this up, we want to put something upon you. This is because we believe this is biblical, and furthermore, we believe if even, say, three-quarters of Trinity was doing these, this would be a dramatically different place with way more people coming to Jesus and way more people growing in Jesus. And these are the four things we're asking you to do. And we're asking you to do these once again this fall, or reaffirm these once again this fall, or begin to move forward in maybe one or two of these if you're like, oh man, I haven't even started. First is to gather weekly in worship. Gather weekly in worship. Make it a priority. Individualize the whole proposition. If you don't see the benefit of gathering weekly in worship, I think you've already been blinded by individualism if you think, oh, staying home watching a live stream is just as good. No, it's not. It's not. It's a great second if you can't literally get here because of medical issues or because of a storm. But if you can get here, the doing good far exceeds the live stream when you gather. Please, please, please make it a priority to gather weekly and worship with God's people. And some, I think, are missing the point when they say, well, what do I get out of it that's different than if I stay home? Well, is God more pleased? Maybe should be the question. And I would say absolutely, he's far more pleased. If you can gather, that you do gather. You want to please the Lord, make it a priority. Second is to connect in a small group. We're going to be introducing these mid-September, opportunities for every adult to be in community with other believers under God's word. And some of you are saying, hey, wait, but I can study the Bible just fine at home. Well, that's only answering the question individualistically. That's saying about you. What is that other person getting out of it if you stay home? What's that encouraging word you're going to share with somebody else? What's that struggling together in prayer with somebody else and knowing what to pray for? That only is going to happen if we're connecting in these small group communities. And this is part of TCC's philosophy. Three times a year, we get people into these groups and we grow together. And we want to encourage everybody to take those steps to connect in small group this fall. If you're doing the gathering, then definitely connect in small group. And if you're doing connecting and gathering, we want to encourage you to serve in a ministry. We've got opportunities in children's ministry, youth ministry, Sunday ministries of other kinds, ways that you can serve using strengths in administration and other things you may not know about. But we, if you say, hey, I want to serve, or I want to serve more strategically, more in line with my gifting, we can definitely help you to find places to serve. I want to encourage you to do the good of serving in a ministry. And then we want to encourage all TCC partners, if you know Jesus or are growing in this gospel-shaped transformation and community here at Trinity Community Church, you're looking to invest in relational evangelism. You're praying for people you know that don't know Jesus. This past week, who'd you pray for that doesn't know Jesus? Neighbor, workmate, family member, somebody that's a peer at school. This is challenging Pastor Bruce, right? Pray for those people you know that don't know Jesus. And then invest. How are we caring for them? How are we looking for the opportunities? Maybe we're going to invite them to TCC Day. Maybe we're going to look to say hi to them at Norwood Day and say, hey, I got a great church. Why don't you want to come? Whatever it is, invest in relational evangelism. We want to live this out, encourage one another, and cast this vision. This is not something that's going to go away. I wish Pastor Bruce would stop talking about investing in relational evangelism. I'm not going to do it. And I'm so thankful for our staff, Anna and Eric, and they're all in on this vision as well. We got to keep on encouraging one another in the doing good of sharing with those that need Jesus. Yeah, and then let's talk about TCC Day. Before I do that, I want to read a statement from a newsletter I got this week. I'm just changing a couple words at the ending. I want to ask you if you agree with this statement. In a world with so many people broken and needing help, healing, and a place to belong, we can't help but get excited about churches that can introduce them to Jesus. Do you agree with that? In a world with so many people broken, needing help, healing, and a place to belong, we can't help but get excited about churches that introduce them to Jesus. Trinity is that kind of a place. A place where we can introduce others to Jesus. And this world of brokenness, hurt, confusion, and people needing a place to heal and belong and to know Jesus personally. And brothers and sisters, this TCC Day, I believe, has the potential to move us forward a bit in that vision. Our goal is first for TCCers to connect with each other. And that's not just the folks who are faithfully coming. That's the folks that we're saying, where are they? And Anna did a great job of that invite and encouraging. And hey, we want you here. If you've been away for the summer, we want you back. If you've been away for the pandemic, we hope you can come. If you don't feel comfortable coming inside, well, this is even outside. So invite those TCCers so we can connect with each other. And let's all of us who are all in ministry, gathering regularly, let's encourage one another, pray for one another, and look for opportunities to connect others. We want to then engage in TCC's ministry. We're really excited about what we've got ahead. And we're going to have some booths there of some of the things that are going on, some of which you know about, but you will know better how to pray. And some of the ministries are things you don't know much about, and we want to share with you. So this is going to be a well-organized way of putting in front of you so you can engage in TCC's ministry in this coming season. And that's another of our goals. And then we want to celebrate what God is doing. God is doing mighty things. People are coming to the Lord. We saw baptisms last week. People are growing in the Lord. What a blessing. People are being brought to this church. We have opportunities to share with others beyond this church. Children's ministry is happening. Youth ministry is happening. A new season of small groups is going to be happening. And we want to celebrate that and look to the Lord in that. So come for the worship service and the TCC kids at 9:30, and then gather in the park afterwards, right afterwards. No going home, no changing into casual clothes. Welcome to come to worship with your shorts on if that you feel more comfortable with that in the park afterwards. There's not a hard transition. It's like you go out the doors, and we're going over there to experience. We're not going like, oh, where are we next? No, just right there. Not go home and get your stuff. We got to eat lunch. This is way before lunch, right? Get over to the park. We're going to have some great experience. Now, here's what I want you to do. I think I left my cell phone in my office, so I can't use it as a prop. But you have one. Can you please take out your cell phone? If you're here, and even if you're at home with a live stream, if you do texting, if you don't text, then you're exempt from this. But many of you do. You texted your friend last night or whatever. Could you text 781-242-5253. Plug that number in. And if you've done this before, hey, it's already saved in my phone. Look at that. If you write fall, you're committing to pray for this day, TCC Day on September 12th, to attend it. And if you get sick, I won't hold you to it. You're just saying, yeah, I'm planning to attend. It's on my calendar. And you're going to invite people. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to invite somebody to this TCC Day, either to the message and the service or to the experience afterwards, or maybe to both. The message is from John 6, bringing Jesus, the little you have. It's going to put the gospel right out in front, anything heavy duty. It'll apply to believers and their encouragement. It'll apply to those that don't yet know the Lord and their need for Jesus. If you're texting FALL to that number, F-A-L-L, you're just going to get a short thank you from us, and that'll just be a reminder that, yep, you said you were going to pray, attend, and invite. And by doing that, I think you're making a kind of a concrete investment in doing good. In fact, even that little thing is sort of in line with this prayer. Something pleasing to God that you can do, and all to the glory of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Wow, we are so blessed. Not only that you have revealed yourself so that we can know you as Savior, know forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus who gave himself for us, and not only the experience of our spiritual life being restored by the word, Lord, but you've revealed yourself in a way that gives us wisdom, gives us joy, gives us guidance, gives us encouragement, instruction, warning, and God, all of this so that we can be doing good works that glorify your name, that point others to Jesus, that build up your work in people, that help to advance the cause of the gospel, that share with those that have needs, that remind people that Jesus has given himself so that they too may have life. Lord, guide us in all these things individually and collectively for your glory. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and the deeds and actions that flow from our heart meditations, Lord, be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's stand.